get started this morning. Let's take our course books and turn to number 38. Help us to be more and more like the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would be with Brother Renzi as he teaches and preaches today. You would guide and direct him. May we each receive a blessing from you today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, announcements. Don't forget that we started this last week. We're going to go back to the way it was before. Whenever Sunday school was dismissed, within 20 minutes of that time is when we're planning to start the morning service. So somewhere in the 10:45 to 10:50 range. So trust that you'll get everything you need taken care of before that point, so that way we can get started. All right. Don't forget, we are having communion this morning, and so on that note, there is a special basket set aside for our deacon's benevolence, or our deacon's fund offering, so if you would like to contribute to that, please do so. We've already received some money for this offering as well, but we received notice from Pastor Reddy that he needed some money to help with his medical needs, and so if you would like to contribute to that, you can put that in one of our envelopes in the back, mark it Pastor Reddy Medical, and put it in the blue box for Pastor Reddy. And then also, I've neglected to announce this one for a while. The Renos are raising money for their track depots that they have all across the country. So if you'd like to contribute to that, there's a box in the back for that offering as well. Don't forget, on Saturday, May 20th, at 9 a.m., there is the church work day. So we've been announcing this for a little bit. Look around the church and see what possible things might need to be done. And if you have any special tools that you could bring along, please do so. That would be great. Also, on the board here, this will be done with this at the end of after today. But there is a card for John Bassel and family. If you have not had a chance to sign that and write a little note of encouragement to him, please do so. We're also going to be sending him a love offering to help with the funeral expenses and that kind of thing. So if you'd like to contribute to that, take one of the envelopes in the back, write John Bassel on it, and put it in the regular offering box. That would be good. Okay? So I think that's all the announcements that I'm aware of right now. So let's go ahead and continue singing here. Number 53. My sins are gone.
Follow me.
elected to know about, Carl. We'll say happy birthday to you as well. Welcome back, Carl. It's good to see you. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. We do have several children here today, so they can be dismissed to go down to their class. While they're getting ready for that, our memory verses for this week were Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Like I discussed last week, since our passage is shorter now, we're going to go back to the way we used to do it, where if there are volunteers who would like to say the verses, I will recognize those, and we'll take four or five volunteers if there are that many who would like to do it. So anyone want to say? All right, sure. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For you are saved by grace and not by yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, if any man should boast.
All right, amen. Anyone else? Okay, Marge and then Joe.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
All right, Joe.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, is that free, it is a free gift of God, not of works, but sin and
action. All right. Anyone else? Jean.
For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. Let's say it together now. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right. Brother Renzi.
Well, Romans chapter number 12, if you would please.
Romans chapter number 12. We are going to pick up where we left off last week in Sunday school. We're on the theme right now of one another. Amen. In fact, I've been trying to teach you the song, right? By the way, does anybody know, and I'm so happy, so very happy. Why don't we add that on to that song? I was ready to sing it out. That would have been a solo on my behalf. Amen. How many people, that's part of that, you know. What is the song? Yeah.
I'm so happy, here's the reason why.
Yeah. No. We're talking about the one we sang. The one we just sang, it has the, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on. Anybody know? The chorus is supposed to be, and I'm so happy. But anyway, so this comes to my mind. Anyway, we're talking about one another. Amen. And we, in all of the one another's that we find in the, especially in the New Testament in reference to the church, to us, there's two basic things. And we've been talking about the first basic thing that we need in reference to one another is we need to love one another. Amen. We need to love one another. And last week, I just kind of introduced some things about that. But loving one another, just to take a moment to reiterate, last week we talked about the fact that loving one another involves or includes receiving one another. You remember we talked about that. Most of you should remember that. Receiving one another. In fact, in Romans chapter 15, verse number 7, it says, receive ye one another as Christ received us to the glory of God. Amen. And so Romans 14 was a chapter that deals with what we call gray matters, gray issues, not black and white. We talked about this last week. Some people believe one thing and other people believe another thing. And these are things that don't matter. In fact, there was a statement that was made that I think is a good statement. And it's this, the differences that don't make a difference. Amen. We by way of illustration, we talked about the fact that, you know, some people, you know, believe that you shouldn't drink coffee. Now, I mentioned this last week, and with all sincerity, if you're a person here that thinks you shouldn't drink coffee, amen. I do not mock you by no means at all, but I won't stop drinking coffee, I'll tell you that. in your presence, I wouldn't order coffee if I knew you didn't, you thought it was wrong. You understand that? Now, these are issues that, you know, some people say, well, coffee, you know, by the way, the news, you got to be very careful about the news media. One day milk's bad for you. The next day milk's good for you. One day coffee's the worst thing you can have. The next day it's the best thing you can have, especially if you're a man. Isn't it amazing? You know, the eggs are the worst things you can have. But then they find out, no, it wasn't actually the eggs. It was probably what you were having with the eggs. And then so it's not too big. And so we got to be very, very careful, amen, of getting our information from the news media. That's for sure. But there are gray matters. There are issues that are not biblical issues, you know. And maybe there are biblical issues, you know. Some person doesn't feel that they could eat ham because, you know, in the Old Testament, they weren't allowed to eat pig, you know. But yet we know in the New Testament that we can eat all things, amen. But if you're a person that says, I still don't think you ought to eat ham, then don't eat it. And if I know you don't eat it, and I believe, you know, that you think that that's wrong, if we ever were out eating somewhere, I would not order that in front of you. I wouldn't do that on purpose. Amen. I don't think you ought to instigate some, you know, if you know somebody has a certain belief, I don't think that you ought to instigate and kind of provoke them to anger. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's right. I think we need to respect one another. Amen. And that's what Romans 14 dealt with. We have to receive one another. We can't say, well, that guy doesn't believe exactly what I believe. By the way, I don't know if you're going to get everybody to believe exactly the same thing. I really don't. By the way, that's the whole point about church. You know, there are fundamental things that we have to believe in order to be saved. And I believe that there are fundamental things that you ought to do or believe in order to be a part of a church. I think you ought to be baptized before you can be a member of a church. Saved, baptized, member of church, right? So there are certain things that I think there's no getting around it. Okay? But there are other things that we need to give room to one another. We need to give room to one another. Amen? And so we talked about receiving one another, and this is very important, very, very important to receive one another, because listen, if I can't receive you, I can't help you. You think about that. If you cut somebody off because they believe something different than you believe, and it has nothing to do with the Bible, most likely you're not going to open up yourself and open up your heart to them to the point that you can actually minister to them and help them in an area that has nothing to do with what they believe. Amen? So we really have to, I mean, you know, the thought of greeting one another, we talked about that last week, of having hospitality toward one another, that's for the purpose of helping one another, amen? And so this is a part of loving one another. First thing we got to learn to do is receive one another, okay? Now, here's the second thing, and by the way, we talked about this one, so I'm going to touch on it and just add some things we didn't talk about in reference to it. Look at Romans chapter 12, if you would please, verse number 10. Receiving one another is a part of loving one another. But then we talked about this already, but let me just embellish upon it a little bit. Romans 12, look at verse number 10. The Bible says this. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I preached on preferring one another. And basically what that means is we are to put others first. Put others first. Amen. The innate sin of everybody is selfishness. We are naturally selfishness. Matter of fact, all sin is from selfishness. Amen. And so being first is what I naturally want to be. But being saved and having the Spirit of God, I can supernaturally put myself away for others. In fact, somebody said this, J-O-Y, joy. The key to joy is Jesus first, J, others second, and then Y, yourself last. That's the key to joy. Put Jesus first. In fact, I think Psalm 16, verse number 8, the Bible says, I've set the Lord always before me. In other words, he's first in my life, and therefore will my heart rejoice, and so on. So Jesus first, others second, myself last. If I can do that, I think that I'll have joy. But the natural tendency, the sinful tendency, is for to be first ourselves. Amen. And this is something we have to fight. This is something we have to fight. And so preferring one another is putting others first. In fact, we looked at already, and I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. We looked at Philippians chapter 2, where he said that you need to esteem others better than yourselves. Let not every man seek his own, but every man the things of others. Amen. And so that is, by the way, that's the key right there. That is what we need to do, no doubt about it. Now, would you, by the way, preferring others involves Hebrews 10:24, considering others, thinking of others. Amen. And then it also involves 1 Corinthians 12:25 to 27, and that's caring for others. You see, these are things. If you're going to prefer others, if you're going to put others first, then you're going to consider them and you're going to care for them. Amen. And by the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us a good reason why we ought to care for one another. Because one another, whatever happens to one another affects everybody. If somebody's hurting, we're all going to hurt. If somebody's blessed, we're all going to be blessed. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, it takes the human body as an illustration. Who's going to say, well, I don't need that hand. Let's just chop it off. No, I need this. I would have said my hair needs this hand to shampoo it. Can I get a witness on that? Do I have to scratch the back? Whatever. I don't need the pinky. And from what I understand, you can't really walk good if you have no toes. I don't need these little things here. Hey, them little things make a big difference. You don't realize it. Amen. And so that's the emphasis. Love one another. Love each member of the church like you love each member of your body. I'm not trying to get rid of members of my body. Even though you go to the hospital and they say, yeah, you don't need this. Let's just get rid of that. You know, I really believe we're going to find out that things that they're saying we don't need, they're going to realize one day, oh yeah, we did need that. Amen. In fact, they'll make money by making a fake one of those and starting to sell them. Amen. But the fact that we need to learn to love one another by preferring one another, by putting one another first. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for a moment, please? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And by the way, I am not saying it's easy to love one another. And I don't expect a lot of amens. I don't expect a lot of amens on that one. But it's true. I can be honest. I don't have nothing to lose right now. I can be honest. It's not easy loving one another. I can't understand why people don't love me the way they ought to. Now, if you live with me, you understand it's not easy to live with. And by the way, some people are not easy to live with. We don't understand that because we don't live with them. But some people, they bring the way they live to the church, to the pew. And some people are just hard to get along. There's no doubt about it. But the fact is, I don't doubt that we're hard to get along with. We just don't realize that. Amen? Because we all have different ways about us. Do we not? We have different ways about us. And so, boy, we have to learn to love one another in spite of everything. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse number 24, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 24. Let no man, here it is, seek his own. That's selfishness right there, right? Let no man seek his own, but every man what? Another's wealth. Be concerned about others, especially by the way, especially in the context of the church. Amen. We need to care for one another. We need to love one another. Now, let me just say this. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. The disciples actually were rubbing elbows with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was right there with them in the midst of. He was right there with them. And you would have thought at least that they would be more concerned about others than themselves, right? But that's not always the case. Look at Mark chapter number 9. Look at verse number 33. Mark 9, verse number 33. The Bible says this in Mark 9, 33. And he, referring to Jesus, he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked the disciples, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? How about that? That's like a parent saying, okay, what were you arguing about on our way here? So the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, grown men, okay, what were you arguing about on our way here? Look at verse number 34. He goes on to say this. But they held their peace. They weren't arguing anymore right in front of Jesus. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah, we don't want to tell you what we were arguing about because it wasn't real good. But anyway, for by the way, it says this, that they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Could you imagine that? The disciples of Jesus Christ were with him in his very presence. They're in the back seat, if you will, just picture in your mind, fighting over who's the greatest out of them. Amen. Boy, if the greatest himself was physically in their midst and they were wondering who's the greatest among themselves, boy, they missed the mark. How much more us? He's not even here physically. Many times out of sight, out of mind. Amen? But look at verse number 35. And he sat down. He knew what they were arguing about. By the way, isn't that amazing? He knows exactly what the problem is. But you know what it is? He wants us to know what the problem is. You know, this right here harkens back to Adam, where art thou? Adam sinned. Adam was guilty. Adam was hiding. And God, by the way, it wasn't the game of hide and seek. God knew exactly where Adam was. God needed Adam to wake up and realize where he is. And by the way, let me say this. Church services ought to be that way. You know the word of God's a mirror, right? And the preacher really needs to get up. And by the way, a good preacher has been looking in the mirror all week long and doesn't always like what he sees. But a preacher's job is to get up and say, here, examine yourself. Look in the mirror. Right? Why? Because there are little mess ups in the makeup. Not my makeup, by the way. There are mess ups in the makeup and other things that you just didn't notice it. I like it when my family will tell me there's something wrong I need to fix before I go out and embarrass myself. Hey, you got a pimple right here on the top of your forehead. You might want to deal with that. Amen. If I go out and, you know, we're going through life and then all of a sudden I go in a restaurant, I'm like, oh my goodness, they didn't tell me about this. Amen. In church is where we ought to see the mirror and see ourselves. If there's issues that need to be dealt with, we need to see that. Amen. And by the way, that's what God wants to do. He wants to help us to realize where we are, because until we realize where we are, we can't get where we're supposed to go. Amen. Look at verse number 35. And he sat down and he called the 12. By the way, that's a unique statement. I want you to just see something. He called who? The 12. Do you know what is believed to be the first seven men in Acts 6? They're called the deacons. One of them is referred to, I believe, I don't know if it was Stephen or Philip. He's referred to as one of the seven. And then there's references sometimes to one of the 12. If you think about it, we are all one of. We're not one and onlys. See, only Jesus is one and only. In fact, Peter almost made a mistake when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah showed up and Peter got so excited. He said, oh Lord, let me make three tabernacles. And God from heaven said, whoa, stop it. This right here, this is my beloved son. You hear him. He ain't one of. Matter of fact, Jesus said to the disciples, you recall this, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. And some say you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said, well, hold on a minute. Here's the most important question. Who do you say that I am? Peter, being the spokesman, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven hath done this. And basically, he said the truth of who he really was. You see, the other people thought Jesus was one of the prophets. Peter said, no, we realize you're the Christ, which is the prophet, the priest, the king of Israel. Not one of, one and only. Amen. But you and I are humbly one of. And we need to understand that. That's why we said there's no preeminent person in the church. Diotrephes, we remember in 3 John, he loved to have the preeminence. He wanted to be the big man in the church. But Colossians 1:18 says that Christ ought to have the preeminence in the church. Amen. And so I want you to look at verse number 30. Where are we at here? Verse number 35. And he sat down and he called the 12. I mentioned that. And he said unto them, if any man, here it is, desire to be what? First. There it is. You see, the preferring yourself. I want to be number one. I want to be, you know, him or it or whatever. By the way, I'll be honest with you. Some people ask for things they have no idea what they're asking for. Wasn't it James and John, they wanted to, you know, sit on the right hand and on the left hand of Jesus. He said, you don't even know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? In other words, there's a suffering coming. Can you think you can handle it? There are some people who want to get up in what they call the inner circle. Growing up in a church, we had a few men on a committee, not a committee. We didn't call it a committee, but, you know, a few men that kind of helped a preacher to do everything. And you had this guy, he wanted to be a part of that inner circle. And so he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I don't believe the pastor knew. He shouldn't have been there. He wasn't mature enough. But he said, let him learn something. Come on in. Learn what the inner circle is. Do this, do that, do the other thing. I'm talking a ministry that was bigger and busier. But not only was it bigger and busier, with new levels comes new devils. There are times when it's not God's will for somebody to step into a situation because they can't handle the devil's attack against that situation. Amen. Amen. Just because a person may be old in Christianity doesn't mean they grew up. Amen. And so I'm always leery of ambitious people, always leery, personally. I want to do this and I want to do that. You know what I mean? And they try to put themselves in situations. You know what? Let God do that. You don't have to push yourself somewhere. Let God do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, if you need me here, if you need me there, but leave it at that. Don't push for something. Amen. I get very leery of people to push. He said, if any man desire to be first, here's what he said. The same shall be what? Last of all and servant of all. You want to be the big man? Then serve the Lord. Look at verse number 36. Actually, I don't want to get into 36. I want to take you somewhere else. Turn to Luke chapter 14, please. Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. We're talking about loving one another. You and I need to love one another. And loving one another involves receiving one another, which I think involves respecting one another for sure. But we also need to prefer one another. Amen. Put others first. You don't have to be first. Let others be first. Amen. In Luke chapter 14, here's the Lord Jesus' instructions. Luke 14. Let's look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 to 11. Jesus said this, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest the more honorable than thou be bidden of him. In other words, don't seek the prominent place. Verse number 9. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest section. Be careful with trying to become first, because you actually might get humbled. Look at verse number 10. But when thou art bidden and go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Let somebody else raise you up. Don't raise yourself up. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Look at verse 11. For whosoever, here's the kicker of it, what Jesus said. For whosoever shall exalt himself. That's seeking first place. That's seeking to be the big man, you know. He that, whosoever exalteth himself shall be what? Abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so you and I need to seek to honor and prefer and to raise up and to help others. That's the key. We got to be careful with wanting to be something we're not, or wanting to do something that's not God's will. Have you ever heard about the pocket watch? There was a pocket watch. And by the way, how many people know what Big Ben is? What is Big Ben? Somebody help me. That's what they call Big Ben. Yes, sir. That's what they call Big Ben. Technically, I'm going to throw this out here because I looked it up. Didn't realize it. Big Ben is actually the bell that's in the clock. I never knew that until I looked it up. But they call the clock Big Ben. Big Ben is big and recognized nationally. And that pocket watch was looking at Big Ben, and that pocket watch said, I want to be up there with Big Ben. I'm tired of being down here in somebody's pocket. Do you know what happens if you take a pocket watch and you put it up there next to Big Ben? Big Ben? You know what happens to it? It loses its significance. I ain't going to see that pocket watch looking at Big Ben. If God has put you in somebody's pocket, if God has made you a wristwatch, if God has made you a clock on a local church wall, be that. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Not every preacher is going to be a national clock telling nationally, you know, Christianity, you know, good things and so on. But you know, let me tell you what the ambition is among people. It's always bigness. It's always, I want to be up there. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the push with many churches, many preachers? They got these dreams. Oh, I get vision, 3,000 church, 3,000 members in an auditorium. And you know what I wonder? Most of the time, I don't doubt, if not all the time, the ambitions are selfish. Amen. You know what ambition really ought to be? I just want to be what God wants me to be. And if God moves me anywhere or uses me anywhere, that's good. Amen. You got to be careful of your selfish ambition. That can, listen, we can have pride and not even realize it. Amen? In fact, with that in mind, I want you to turn somewhere with me. Turn to Psalm 131. I want you to see something. Psalm 131. Watch selfish, self-centered ambition. And by the way, any preacher that says, oh, I have a dream of having 3,000 members in a 5,000 auditorium. I have a dream of having 500 buses running to pick up a church. I have a dream for all. Be leery. Most of those people, though, at the end of all their dream statements, for the glory of God. For the glory of God, I have this dream. Yes, if you put the glory of God at the end of it, then that justifies everything. Listen, the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful, above all things. Who can know it? Amen? The main goal, if I can be what God wants me to be, live the way God wants me to live, if he wants to raise me up for something, then he'll raise me up for something. But I don't want to ambitiously, fleshly, selfishly try to put myself in a situation. By the way, I might not be able to handle that. Amen. Here's the attitude I think that we all need to have when it comes to this. We need to have, by the way, I in life, I pick up things as I try to look at things, look at people, look at situations. And I notice that people who are genuine usually get somewhere in life. People who are trying to get somewhere a lot of times selfishly and sinfully, they hurt people along the way. And it's not good. It's not right at all. Amen. I want you to look with me at Psalm 131. Look at David. I want you to see something about David. David here, by the way, David made it somewhere. But that was God's doing. In fact, men were not looking for David at the time they called him to be the king of Israel. Wasn't it Samuel who said, surely this big, strong son of Jesse, surely this is the one that God had chosen? And God said, you're looking on the outward. You got the wrong guy. You're looking at stature. You're looking at qualifications that make no difference. Somebody said you're putting the tape measure around the head or around the arms, and God puts it around the heart. There's nobody here. Oh, yeah, we got somebody, but we never expected you to consider him. Well, go get him. David, busy about his father's business, tending to the sheep, a little boy with a heart for God. Amen? He's the one. He's the one. Here's what David said about these things we're talking about. Look at verse number one, Psalm 131, verse number one. Lord, he said, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. What is he saying? I'm not being full of pride right now. Neither do I what? Exercise myself in great matters or things too high for me. David's saying, Lord, I'm not being prideful. I want to be humble. I want to know my own shoe size, if you will. I'm not going to personally, selfishly, aggressively seek. By the way, he could have. He could have killed Saul and he could have got what he wanted or what God wanted. But he didn't even touch God's anointed because he knew if it was God's will, God would get him where he needed to go. He didn't need to use his own hands. Amen. Look what he says, by the way. So verse number one, what we see here is David's humility. His humility. I'm not thinking myself more than I ought to be. Think of myself. By the way, that's the scriptural thing, right? Don't think of yourself more than you ought to think of yourself. And might I throw in another thought? Don't think of yourself less than. You go, we got to watch the extremes. I'm so nothing and nobody. I'll never amount to nothing and God can't use me. Or I'm everything and boy, I don't know what they're going to do without me. Can I get a witness? Watch the extreme. Let's live for God and let him do what he's going to do. Look at, he said, in verse one, we have the humility. But listen, humility is based on verse two. And that is, listen, maturity. Maturity. Look what he says in verse number two. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is having, even as a weaned child. When you're talking about the weaning process, you're talking about maturity. David is saying, I do not aggressively seek things pridefully for myself because I am matured. I've quieted myself. I've behaved myself. Matured. We see the humility in verse 1. We see the humility in verse 1. We see the maturity in verse 2. And then verse number 3 talks about the dependency. The dependency. See, David was depending on the Lord. In fact, he encouraged Israel to do the same. Look at verse 3. Let Israel what? Hope in the Lord from henceforth. See, David depended on the Lord. I don't have to aggressively try to push myself into a situation. If God wants me somewhere, he can get me there. I don't have to sin and do wrong to get there neither, by the way. Amen? Promotion comes from the Lord. Psalm 75. Let me take you to one more portion of scripture, I think. Turn with me, if you would, for a moment to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 45. Preferring one another. By the way, we have to fight against ourselves to prefer others. Amen? We have to prefer others. Jeremiah chapter 45, if you would, please. By the way, this might be the shortest chapter in the book. It's only 5 verses. It's a message. By the way, I encourage you to read this chapter, and it won't take you long, I promise you. 5 verses. Baruch was Jeremiah's secretary. He was kind of like a partner and a helper and a laborer. And if you read the chapter, he's going through persecution. By the way, he's with Jeremiah. And if Jeremiah is getting persecuted, guess what? If you're working with him, you're getting persecuted too. Innocent bystanders, right? But Jeremiah obviously was going through some things. And God had a message for Jeremiah. Maybe Jeremiah wasn't content being the secretary. Maybe he wasn't content being the second man. I don't know. But I'm going to give you the main gist of what God said to Jeremiah and told Jeremiah to tell Baruch. Watch what he says in verse 5, which is the key verse I want you to get. Here's the message to Baruch. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Somehow, some way, Baruch was seeking what? Great things for himself. What did God say? Listen to the next statement. Seek them not. Seek them not. It is not God's will for you and I to seek great things for ourselves. To seek as the disciples, to be the greatest. Amen. That just reeks of pride. Amen. That just reeks of pride. You and I, by the grace of God, listen, and by the way, it takes God's help to do this. Forget about yourself and be a blessing and a help to others. In the Philippian text, in verses 1 to 5, where Paul said, think of others, esteem others. Verse 5, he said this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the whole context is, Jesus was the greatest. He was equal to God. Yet he did not seek to have a reputation. He gave up so much to come down here for the sake of others. And by the way, that others is you and I. In the chapter 2, Not only is Jesus used as an example, but Timothy is used an example. Paul said, I want to get to you and I want to help you, but if I can't, Timothy's the next man I would send to you. He doesn't seek his own. He cares about you. By the way, he can't come, so I'm going to send the next best thing. His name is Epaphroditus. He was sick, nigh unto death, sick, trying to labor to help you. He loves you. So he uses examples. The Lord and Paul himself being an offering poured out. By the way, Paul was a great example of this. He said, I am willing to spend and be spent. In fact, you know what he said to the Corinthians? He said, I'm not asked after yours. You know what that means. I'm not trying to get what you got. I'm after you. You see, a person with real love for others, they don't use others to get things. They use things to get others. And we're living in a day and age where people are more concerned about getting from people than they are being helped to people. And God help you and I to learn to love one another. Amen. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, forgive me for not loving one another the way that I should. But Lord, help me. Help me to think about and care for and help others the way that I ought to. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning in Sunday school to just take some time and talk about loving others. It's probably not the most popular messages, I'm sure. It goes against the grain of our humanity, but it's so necessary. Father, help us to love one another. Help us to love one another even to the point that we will receive one another in spite of minor differences. In fact, may those minor differences be put aside that we can help one another. Father, help us to prefer one another. I know it goes against the grain of our flesh, but help us by the Spirit of God to overcome our flesh for the sake of others and all for the glory of God, no doubt about it. I do pray that these things, your Spirit would work in our hearts, making us better Christians for your glory. Help this church, Lord. We pray for your watch care over it, your guidance, your direction, your leading. Bless, we pray, our time of fellowship before the morning service, and bless the Lord's table and the message to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have some fellowship. Amen.